The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
And if I would have been hitting the record, but if I would have hit the record button to begin with, you would have heard the beginning of a decent conversation. You missed it. Too bad.
Next time.
Yes. But what we were talking about was a continuation of the audio experience that Dusty and I did yesterday. Me basically saying I had no idea where Andrew Wiggins came from. Shahid was saying that they're almost calling him a can't miss or a can't-miss talent, which means project. And what I was going to say to that was, if the Minnesota Timberwolves will trade Kevin Love, a proven commodity, who said he will sign with the Cavaliers, why don't you just give up the guy that's not proven at all?
You already have a reason. It's the, I think I made the analogy that somebody saying it's the whole got the wife back home and this lady supermodel that might be something special, but you're not sure about. People always go with that whole potential. Oh, he's long. He's got a wingspan. He can jump. It's the unknown is always sexier than the known. Like, nobody likes their known Altima, even if it's an Altima. You know, it might be some brand new car with a new car smell, and it might break down after a year, but human nature.
Yeah, but even if you're the Cavs, I mean, even you have to look at it and go, well, we brought LeBron James in to win a championship now. Yeah. Regardless of what his letter said, you win now. So here, we don't know what this guy's going to do. So we'll take the guy that we know averages, I don't know what he averages a game.
26 and 12.
That seems like a lot.
It is a lot.
You know? And I don't know what Wiggins averaged in college, but hey, that's college.
He didn't average 26 and 12. And Kevin, and the funny thing is, Kevin Love is only 25. But you would think Cleveland would do the smart thing, but
it's Cleveland.
Yeah, and that's what made me angry about that whole situation. Not that LeBron went home or he traded for a better situation. He's a grown man, whatever. It's that Cleveland got rewarded for futility, for being incompetent. This is You win the lottery 3 out of 4 years. You know how hard that is?
No, like, it's easy when the NBA wants you to win the lottery every year.
But and that's what people say. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like, if you're going to rig it, you're not going to rig it for the Cavaliers. It's better franchise than anymore. You rig it for like the Lakers or the Celtics.
That's what I was just about to say. Like, weren't the Celtics and Lakers awful this year?
Yes, as were the Sixers. And, you know, you rig it for a big market. You don't rig it for Cleveland. Nope. But it's easy to say, it looks, you know, now if you're somebody that thinks the NBA is fixed, I couldn't convince you otherwise. Like, oh, of course, they win the lottery and LeBron James goes back. So, yeah.
All of those things are so, it's such fan speculation. You know, it's something to give the fans something extra to talk about for fun. But then it takes on like some serious overtone all of a sudden. It's like, no. Do you understand how hard it would be to rig something like that and not have it come out immediately?
Exactly. Someone always snitches.
Yeah, exactly.
And all it takes is one. But, you know, people don't want to hear about that. It's easier to think it's rigged compared to accept the alternative. There's no dumbass luck and random chance. There's no one wants to accept that.
Yeah. And I've noticed through all this, that ESPN now has absolutely nothing to talk about. It's right. Well, at least they have the home run derby now, so they can talk about, you know, how impressive these are, where guys get pitches lobbed into them and hit a ball 400 or 500 feet and then make a big deal out of it.
Let me see you hit a ball 400 or 500 feet.
I'm also not paid to hit a ball 400 or 500 feet either. It would be one thing if I was a professional baseball player in these that I was known to be a home run hitter. Like, if they want a real home run derby, get Omar Vizquel out of retirement. You know, who there was one baseball player that hit two home runs over an 18-year career. Put him in the home run derby. That would be far more competitive. I mean, like, or put the steroids back in the baseball. Well, I'm sorry.
What do you mean back then?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, do the wink, wink, and go, hey, get out there and hit some dingers, like that old Simpsons thing. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear the horrible truth, or do you want to see me hit some dingers? You know, I don't know. Sports is a weird animal to me now. I still get upset watching them, but I just don't have, like, it doesn't crush me as much.
I'm in the same boat. Like, you're older, and I think that's what kind of happens when you get older. It's kind of like, you know, if they went, because I remember when the Eagles lost the Saints, like, I was disappointed, but I wasn't, like, you know, throwing stuff into the TV. I, like, you know, they had a good season. They played a good game. They didn't win. I see them next year. I remember crying when the Blue Jays put the Phillies out in the World Series and just losing my mind when the Eagles lost the Super Bowl, like, stuff like that. I remember those things. Now it's kind of like, you know, I watch it, I enjoy it, but if they lose, it's not my fault. So,
yeah,
I treat it like it's my fault.
Well, yeah, it's like you don't take it as personal. Like, I remember watching, and I think I've told the story on different audios. The Red Wings were playing the Capitals. I think it was 97, 98. Mm-hmm. And the Red Wings went down 3-0 in the first period. I think it was the first. I was so out of my mind angry, I picked up the coffee table in front of us and slammed it on the ground. And one of the legs broke out because it was like some cheap-ass 1980s coffee table. I mean, it was just formica. That stuff was tough. It was like all particle board and like just stick metal pieces. I got so mad that it broke, I ripped all the legs off of it. So not only do the Red Wings come back and win the game in overtime, my roommate comes home. One of my roommates comes home during the game when the Wings were still losing. And he goes, what the hell happened to the table? And I just looked at him, I was like, the Wings are losing. And he goes, you took it out on the table? I'm like, just go in your room. Go in your room. And then I had to feel like an asshole, because once like that adrenaline and anger subsides, especially with the joy of winning, I'm left in an empty living room with pieces of wood and metal all over the place.
Yeah.
That I had to very lonely, clean it up all by myself and then have to go and get a new coffee table.
Yeah, it was like the table was playing goaltender that day.
We kind of returned the favor later because the Indians were in the World Series, I think later that year, and they lost to the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
And my roommate Mike was the big Indians fan. I don't care. I'm from Detroit. And Galen did not watch sports. So I don't know who it was, but I remember it was Chuck Nagy. They pulled in for relief. For some reason, they pulled in Chuck Nagy and promptly gave up a single. Marlins win the World Series. And it was very interesting having that out-of-body like experience, watching somebody else lose their shit, only to have Galen, the non-sports fan, go, well, there's always next year.
Yeah.
It was one of those.
Next year, I can't. It's not home yet.
Yeah, man, it was kick up your feet and watch what happens. That was, and Galen was a very timid guy. He had no idea what he just did. And it was the entire room of Indians fans just screaming at him to die and just leave the house. And he moved out a few months later anyways. But yeah, that, I don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
Like watching a Michigan game, if they would lose, it would ruin me for an entire week. Now it's like, that really kind of sucks. And then I'm okay with it by Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's called, I mean, one, it helps. They all get older. I think for me, it kind of helped, like, you know, I still get upset more about the Eagles than any other team, but it's not as bad. At least the Phillies won in 2008. You know, the Flyers, you know, for the most part, they stay consistent. I'm not even worried about the Sixers because they're rebuilding. So it's kind of like, you know, I got the Eagles. And I didn't expect anything from them last year. Well, not for them to be as good as what they were. So it's more like, you know, playing with house money.
Yeah, no, that's true. Mine were always Michigan football, the Wings, and then the Tigers got bad for so long. Like, even these World Series losses, it's like, ugh. Kind of like throw your hands up, like, you know, why did this have to happen? But I'm not, like, angry. It doesn't sit with me. You know, despite what my Facebook post may present.
Oh, I remember you in the World Series.
No, they didn't get to the World Series because Leland left Benoit in for some dumbass reason. A changeup down the middle to David Ortiz.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember you predicting that too.
And I just said that's the series, and it really was. And it just, but it's really, maybe it comes with clarity. You know, and like you said, as you get older, sometimes the better team just wins.
Yeah.
And that's just what it was. So it's horrible to be mature about it. Because isn't there some sort of fun in, like, just total shit talking to each other? Like, being totally irrational about it?
Yeah, but I think I'm trying to move away from that because I got a discussion with, and I told myself not to do this anymore. I got in a session with somebody that I should know better. Let's talk about the Houston Rockets because they were trying to get Chris Bosh and they traded Jeremy Lin in a draft pick to get him. And he ended up staying with Miami and ended up losing Chandler Parsons. So the guy was kind of making out, well, even if they didn't get Chris Bosh, they're better off because they lost Jeremy Lin. And for whatever reason. And my whole thing is, like, even if I had a watch, I didn't really like that much. If I sold the watch to buy some lottery tickets to win the lottery, and I didn't win the lottery, I wouldn't say I was better off because I don't have my ugly watch anymore. No, I don't have a watch, and I didn't get anything from it. And that was the knowledge I used, and it was kind of like, when one person's using common sense and logic, the other one's just saying, well, I saw him, and I think he sucks. It's kind of like, you know, it's that whole internet thing. Even if you win, what are you winning?
Yeah. Well, I think you pointed out something as well, the whole internet thing, where everyone's a genius now, too. They have stats in front of them, and that's it. And then someone can just make up something, and it gets treated as gospel. And I guess one thing I don't understand is, why does everyone hate Jeremy Lin? Like, wasn't he a solid player the last time he was with the Knicks, at least?
Before
Carmelo ruined him?
It's a two-part thing, and Melo, I'll bet you, it's the hype that's surrounding him and the money that's paid that he gets made. Neither one of those has anything to do with him at all. You know, like, Houston signs that deal because so the Knicks wouldn't match it, and then they paying the price because, you know, here's year three, and do you want to pay him $15 million or not? Like, is he worth $15 million? No. Is he supposed to turn down $15 million? Like, no, that's not his problem. And if people get hyped because a Taiwanese basketball player is actually decent, how is that his fault? He's supposed to, you know, not be Taiwanese or not be good, you know? That's all the surrounding stuff. You know how people get when, you know, they get hyped and then they get overhyped, they become overrated, and then they're so overrated, they become underrated. It's the whole internet thing. Like, everything, you have to have an answer now. And there's no patience and no announcement. Like, I need to say something now to stand out. You know, I need to be controversial. But, you know, this is what he is now. This whole everything. And this, whether it's Jeremy Lin or LeBron, even, like, soccer with Messi, it's just amazing hearing the back and forth.
Yeah, that guy's getting fed a ton of garbage now. I don't know how many people are on a soccer pitch, or I'm sorry, a football pitch at once. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure there's more than one guy. I mean, and Argentina didn't score for almost three games worth of time. That's not his fault. I mean, especially I assume or presume, I don't know which one I would use here, but everyone would be keyed on the poor guy.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that leaves somebody else with more opportunity, and they don't step up, but everyone blames him. It's just such a weird thing.
It's the whole, when you have, the better you get, the more expectations you have. And even so, if you don't match those impossible expectations, it's like, oh, he's a bum. Like, they really got on him because he was awarded, you know, player of the tournament. He didn't tell him to give him the award. You know, what is it? Well, how's that his fault? That's FIFA picking.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. Even his coach was given a grief about it, saying that he wasn't the best player. He didn't deserve it. It's like, hey, coach, shut it. What's your problem?
Yeah.
I don't know. Soccer's a weird, weird culture anyways. You know, as much as we make of salaries in this country with our sports, you know, and I, the only other thing I can think of in that respect is we've got so many different sports compared to one major sport overseas. You know, and overseas, I mean the rest of the world. Outside of Canada, because I don't even think they play soccer. So, I say they might. If they do, who knows? Just like when you see a Canadian baseball team, it's like, oh, that's adorable. But I guess we should move away from the sports, since there's going to be two audios in a row, and get into some comic book movies, comic book and movie talk.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we mentioned this a few weeks ago, and I believe this is the link that we were referring to, but what we were talking about, hang on a sec, sorry, my computer just froze on me. What we were talking about was, there was an article in IGN, and it had to do with Hollywood's penance, whatever. Hollywood liking to reboot comic book movies and how people just continually go to them and refill stuff. And I sent you the link. I think this is what we were talking about, at least. Oh, there it is. Now I sent it. It's always funny. A computer, if you hit enter, it will send stuff. It's kind of weird. And they were talking about, they brought up Spider-Man and how it was started over after 10 years. Fantastic Four is now rebooting. Superman and Batman rebooted. They mentioned the Incredible Hulk going through three different people. And really, the Avengers could be almost considered a sub-sequel for the Hulk, because he was a very, very featured player in there, and they finally got him right.
Yeah.
Now, my example for all of this reboot talk is James Bond.
Thank you very much.
And if I was smarter, knowing I was going to say James Bond, I would have had this pulled up before. But the first James Bond movie came out, as soon as this pops up here. Oops. Let me see here. James Bond movie. Let's see. What? Dr. No for James Bond came out in 1962. And it's gone through four different people, five, six, right?
Five. No, Connery, Lazenby, Moore, six. Craig is number six.
Okay, all right. It's gone through six different James actors playing James Bond. And, you know, one guy only played him once. Sean Connery, Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, and I'm doing this for my own benefit, by the way, and what's his name?
Daniel Craig.
Thank you. The most recent one I don't remember. That's good. And until the Daniel Craig, you know, Casino Royale, it all stuck with the same continuity. It stuck with the same... Yeah, basically, yeah, just the same continuity, and no one seemed to care, and it lost steam after a while. But it also lost steam after 40 years. And I'm always confused why comic book movies have to reboot the continuity all the time.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of, they don't really have to, but I think it's curious to see how Marvel handles their main thing, because that would be kind of the litmus test. Because most of the reboots that's happened hasn't been storyline. It's been like behind the scenes, like director stuff, or they haven't made enough money or something like that. Like, I'm sure if Sam Raimi had his way and they gave him what he wanted, he'd still be doing Spider-Man movies.
Well, yeah, and that's what this article pointed out, and we'll link it on the page. But he had studio interference for that third movie, which was not good.
Yeah.
And they basically, the rights were coming up. And I think this is another major part of this is the comic books, you know, really in this case, Marvel now is owned by Disney. So they want the rights to everything back. And these movie studios now just say, well, we can put out a crap product, keep the, not crap product, but, you know, put out an effort. And we retain the rights for a while. Instead of just keeping it going, I don't know. With the way the studios work now, it all comes down to making sure they don't lose that income, instead of creating, you know, a sustainable franchise. That's what it almost seems like to me, at least. If that makes any sense.
That makes sense. Okay. It's about, you know, they look at it now as kind of everything, what's going to franchise and what's going to, you know, power the studio, what's the money maker. And it doesn't, if it's good, then that's great, but it doesn't necessarily have to be good as long as it's something that'll make money or make it worthwhile anyway. And I think they kind of, they're starting to run into problems with that with the Spider-Man franchise, because it's the second, like this most recent one made less than the first one, which made less than, you know, the ones that came out beforehand. It's kind of like, you know, you're getting diminishing returns, and you get to the point, you're spending that much money, you're not going to break it even. You got a problem.
Okay, why do you all right, we'll speak just on this new Spider-Man franchise, and I guess going back to the first three, the original trilogy, sounds like Star Wars almost. Why do you think there's a diminishing return? Technically, the technology has gotten way better.
Mm-hmm.
So, and really, the cast for the new Spider-Man isn't that bad.
No, it's not the cast. It's not the technology. It's a two-part thing. It's one, we just got the, I think the main thing is we talked about before, we just saw those Spider-Man, like those Spider-Man movies aren't that old. So it's kind of like, you know, and it's not like, Batman is rebooted because the last, you know, however you feel about Batman, for like Batman and Robin sucked. And it's Batman. And it was like enough time went by where, you know, we can do Batman over. It's like, you know, as you know, Spider-Man 3 was bad, but it wasn't, you know, that bad. But, you know, and it wasn't like they waited 10 to 15 years and then did it. It's like they went back and did it, whatever the timeline was. He was talking about before. And it's like we go right back to the origin story. It's like they're doing it all over again, except for you switch out Mary Jane and you put in Gwen Stacy. So it's not only that, you know, it's an old story being rebooted. It's the same old story that we just saw. And it's kind of like, it's better technology, better actors, but it's, the story is just, Sam Raimi did it better when the first time. It's kind of the big thing.
Yeah, I think story-wise, and I'm going to try not to double speak on this, so I'm trying to formulate it, but I think storyline-wise, the original Spider-Man trilogy has been better because it was basic. They didn't try working in all this cutesy stuff with, you know, Spider-Man seeing Gwen Stacy's dead dad. Spoiler, by the way, it's your own fault by now.
I'm going to actually go see it one day.
It's not even in theaters anymore. It's a nice try. At least I don't think it is, but... No, and they've, and I know this is a big sticking point which we can get to, but they've diverted from the source material in the effort to make it look different, in the effort to make it different, but also losing the core text of, or the core context of the actual character. Like Spider-Man was a dork. Like, I'm sorry, Peter Parker was a dork. Well, in this new Spider-Man's, they've made him this, you know, emo kid, basically. And like this little skate punk with a little attitude to him. And it's like, that's not who the character was at all. And I know another thing is you have to update characters for modern age, but everyone knows the nerds in school. They haven't, being a nerd hasn't changed. Just being a nerd and what you're a nerd in has, you know, differed a tad bit. So I don't see why, or I don't understand why you need to update the stuff when it worked before. And really, with the Spider-Man reboot, I didn't see why they needed to reboot it anyways. Just come up with a storyline. I mean, hell, in the comics, they got rid of his marriage by having Mephisto change history or something.
Oh my God, please don't bring that up.
No, it's dumb, but if they want to do something, they can do something big, you know?
Or just the whole thing with, you know, switch, like him and Dr. Octopus switch bodies, something like that. Because I remember that was a big thing in the comic books.
Yeah, and people freaked out, but everyone knew that, you know, Peter Parker was going to return and everything was going to be hunky-dory. But it's a good story. It's an interesting story and one, you know, that hadn't really been done. And you can't let, I think part of the problem with that story was that you let the comic nerds freak out.
Mm-hmm.
Which I just broke the rule of our show, but oh well. But you can't let the comic people dictate what you do in these movies, but at the same time, it's good to listen. Because there's a reason that these stories have continued on for 60, 70 years, something like that. Even if it's a diminished audience. So.
It's just kind of, I don't know. I think comic book fans kind of, you know, it's a double, like they want their cake and eat it too. Like they complain about, you know, having the same old story show there. But if you make any changes, then they complain that you don't follow canon. And my whole reply is like, what's canon? Because the comic books, you know, as much as we complain about them staying the same, they've changed.
Oh,
you
yes.
know, stories like, which origin story are you talking about? Like, example with Batman, the one in the 40s when he was plugging dudes, the one in the 60s, you know, when him and Robin had, you know, pet hamster, the one in, you know, the one in the 80s when he's fit, you know, he's roided up because of Frank Miller. Like, which Batman? Mm-hmm. Like, Batman's had like a zillion, or they've changed the origin stories how many times? So if this, you know, if the movie decides to do it, and if it's a good story, it's not insulting, then let it go. Otherwise, you know, if I want to see the comic word for word, I'll read the comic book. I don't need to see that on TV. Yeah. And like Watchmen did that, and I never read the comic, and I heard that was a complaint saying, you know, it was just a copy of the comic, not done well. And I can imagine how people felt like if they had changed it. I can imagine the shitstorm people would have had about that because they treat that comic like it's the Bible.
Well, you know, to be honest, if you haven't read that, it's worth going to buy. Don't even, I don't know if libraries carry them or not. It really is as incredible as it's made out to be. It just absolutely is. And it may lose a little bit of its luster now because of how advanced comics have become, you know, theme, maturity-wise. But just the art is a perfect collaboration between art and story. It just is. But I get what you're saying, though, with like what origin? Because even Superman, and really this seems to be a case with DC more than anything. DC got so hokey around the time. Yeah, you know, well, they were always kind of hokey anyways. I remember having a comic where Supergirl blew her secret identity because... I don't remember the guy's name, but he switched out actual, you know, the giant, the old strongman barbells.
Mm-hmm.
He switched out. She was doing something with a strongman competition as Linda Danvers. I believe that was her name, if I remember that right. Where she would have like these empty strongman weights, and she'd lift them up. They said like 200 pounds each or something. And he knew she was Supergirl because Supergirl used to change into a wig with brown hair, and that was her disguise. right?
Okay.
So what he did was he somehow swapped out the balloons, which I'll call for lack of remembering, with an actual 200-pound barbell. And she just went and lifted it up like, hey, see this? And he goes, I knew it. I knew you were Supergirl. And she goes, huh? Oh, you got me. That's how nice it was back in the 70s or 60s, you know, for a reveal. You know, it's how sappy it was. So, and I guess that goes to your point, though, about how, like, now Supergirl's secret identity is she's just Kara Jor-El or Kara El from Krypton, and she's just a mad teenager. Which the new DC's New 52 is an absolute nightmare to try and make heads or tail of. But yeah, and like Superman's origin now is both of his parents died when he was young. So, or in teenage years, late teens, whatever. So he's a little more jaded than he used to be. Batman's parents are still killed by nobody.
He's Batman now?
This is actually a complaint of the Superman movie, which I allow the Man of Steel to have errors because it was his first trip around. So he wasn't prepared. He wasn't thinking, you know, and now's the time where, you know, he becomes, you know, truth, justice, the American way. I think that's still part of it.
Yeah.
But no, the comic Superman now is just this jaded guy. He's a jaded alien. And it's like, this is stupid. That's the whole point of him being Superman. Is that he overcomes all of this negativity, all of this impossible circumstances. And he endures and he doesn't become jaded. He doesn't become, you know, angry, whatever else. So it's basically Superman in the New 52 is just a guy called Superman. That's it. But I don't know if that's bad or not.
It's different, but you know how people get. If it's different and it's not, you know, comforting, oh, it's the worst thing in the world and everything. I remember complaints people had, where, you know, it sounds blasphemy now, like the Christopher Nolan Batmans, like, oh, this is, you know, they got him a, you know, military tank and they trying to make it realistic and this is just dumb and everything like that. Now, you know, it's blasphemy to say anything against his movies besides The Dark Knight Rises. But
yeah.
And as far as, like, it's funny that you bring up Man of Steel because I know people had, it's like a polarizing movie and it's kind of like, you know, people either enjoyed it or hated it. I enjoyed it and they always bring up, well, it wasn't, you know, Superman is destroying stuff and killing people. Christopher Reeve wouldn't do any of those things. I'm like, okay, if you don't like the movie, don't like the movie. But I think some people probably either forgot or haven't watched those Christopher Reeve movies. There's no way in the world, at least especially Superman 1 and 2, people didn't die. Or like Superman, you know, or if you look at Superman 4, he was basically an asshole.
Wait a minute. Don't even go all the way to number 4. Look at number 2, the very end of number 2. He murders.
Yes.
He takes their powers away and then sends them into this giant abyss. He suffocates the mute guy with that shield.
Mm-hmm.
And then he falls into the misty abyss. And he allows Lois Lane to kill Ursa.
And she falls. And I don't want to hear one of the deleted scenes. I'm like, oh, he went down there and caught him. Because I didn't see it. They didn't land on, you know, some Krypton foam and just bounce safely. As far as we know, they're still falling or they're dead.
Yeah. I was shocked by the end of Man of Steel because I didn't expect that. But at the same time, it goes back to what I said earlier, that he's still learning. That he didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom goes, well, why didn't he just put his hands over his eyes? And I'm like, well, he was saying he wasn't going to stop. And look at all the death that Zod just brought down. You know, it's in a moment of panic, really. Because he basically had the plan, we're going to put everybody back into the Phantom Zone. where apparently they can survive. I've never really understood the Phantom Zone. But now, you know, it's, and I guess they even said that will be dealt with in Superman versus Batman. Or I'm sorry, Superman v. Batman. And that's fine. And I guess I'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean that issue will be addressed. You know, my problem with the Man of Steel was the last 20, 30 minutes. It was just so over the top.
Yeah, I mean that's, I know I figured that no one, because you had the same issue with Captain America. It's that like we talk about CGI syndrome. Like the last 20 minutes, this turned into like a computer fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Man of Steel more so. Captain America, at least there was something was going on. Like there were different fights here and there, but Man of Steel was just straight.
Yeah. You know,
buildings falling everywhere, and Superman and Zod just punching each other.
I mean, I get your point, but I'm like, what did you expect them to do? They're not going to play a chess game. They're not going to talk it out.
Right. Yeah.
Zod pissed off, and it's a new Superman. They're going to fight. And it's going to be, those, at least they were honest about those type of individuals' fault is going to be collateral damage.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not like Superman going to say, come follow, you know, come chase me to Smallville. We can fight in a cornfield and duke it out. Like that ship already sailed early in the movie. So yeah. I know it's the whole, imagine how many casualties was, imagine the damage. And I'm like, I don't think he did that on purpose. What'd you expect?
Yeah. Well, and that was people's complaint, actually, that Superman would have taken him away to go fight in Siberia in the middle of Russia somewhere where there's no, you know, get him far away from people and fight him there. And I will still always go back to, this is his first time doing this. Do you really think, or second time, I guess, you know, in the same 24-hour period, essentially. What did you expect?
Yeah, like, and I would say this box, Batman Begins, like, Batman didn't start off being Batman. He was making mistakes, and he had, you know, 6-7 years of training. And he was still messing up, you know, the first time he was Batman.
Yeah.
So what'd you expect from Superman, you know, oh, I learned how to fly 2 days ago, more or less.
Yeah. What was it, a week's worth of time, maybe? I mean, it is what it is, but yeah. No, I don't mind these changes. As long as, I don't mind these changes, and even if it goes against source material, I think that's a big part of it, but then I think that they get so far, and I'm talking, when I say they, I'm talking studios, to go back to the beginning of it, the studios get so far away from the source material to try and amp up the action, to get people into the theater, to get different people into the theater.
To get, you know what it is, it's to get foreign people into the theater. That's the big thing now. Is to get global box. And that's with people, and it goes like with Michael Bay and all these action movies and people, it's kind of like the, I don't know why they feel like the dirty secret. Before, when you talked about box office, it's all like, you know, American or maybe, you know, like North American. Now it's like worldwide. No one, you know, the American one is nice, but you can bomb in the United States and still get a sequel and make money worldwide. And action, and like, action movies, easily translatable. Stuff, you know, punch, kick, boom. You know, you don't really necessarily need nuance. That's the reason why, you know, Tom Cruise still, you know, Edge of Tomorrow made a lot overseas, you know. They didn't make anything here, but action movies translate.
Yeah.
And it's still, you know, translate. They don't think about the whole collateral damage like that. They see Superman punching the alien.
And I agree with you in that, but so what is American cinema's obsession with making everything diverse then? Because if you, I mean, honestly look at Transformers is all American, pretty much all white people in all the movies, and it plays huge in China and Japan, all those places. But then over here, it just seems like we have to, and I guess to get into the Fantastic Four, And that's really the only one. But it always seems like, and we joke about like the token black guy in a movie. We just gets thrown in there. Like Tyrese in the original Transformers movies. He was just there. And that was probably get the ladies in there, mind you. But like the new Fantastic Four, Johnny Storm is going to be a black guy.
Mm-hmm.
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, Michael Jordan.
Which I guess I don't really care because I was never a Fantastic Four fan, but it just seems very calculated. It doesn't seem to be for the benefit of story at all.
I mean, it's...
Without knowing what the script is, of course.
And that's the biggest thing. Like, you know, without seeing the story, I can't make that comment. But why do they make it diversified? I think it's part of it because, you know, maybe people... And I've had this discussion with a lot of people. Like, comics is just... is a better way to put it. And video games had the same problem. People are just tired of seeing the same old white guy doing it. And I know it's kind of like, you know, people don't want to talk about it, anything like that, but... You know, they couldn't draw anything but white people back in the day, so I understand. You know, like, we talked about the X-Men. Like, the X-Men represented diversity and everything like that, and you had five white people. I mean, if you couldn't draw black people, women back in the day, that's fine, like, back in the 40s or 50s. You come in the 70s, you know, it's like, come on. Like, add something. And it's kind of like the whole, goes against the whole thing, like, you know, people won't see other people, because, like, they use that excuse, you know, people don't feel comfortable seeing something that's not their own. And I'm like, well, I went to see all the Superman movies. I see Batman, you know, Latinos, like everyone else go see white movies with no problems. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, Will Smith was the biggest star of, you know, walking. And everybody went to see him. You know, I know white people that go see Denzel movies, but it always goes that whole thing, well, you know, we can't have a black superhero because it's not believable. Yeah, so I can believe an alien and a ninja turtle, but I can't believe a black person being a hero. So it's kind of like that whole, it swung, I don't want to say too much to the other side, because for the most part, it's still predominantly, you know, one looking thing.
Oh, yeah, but yeah.
They try to change up a little bit to add some type of diversity. And without seeing the story, I can't really comment, but I remember reading a message board, like, people lost their damn mind, like, you know, it's supposed to be about family, and how's he gonna be black and Sue? Like, their whole complaint was, how can he be black and Sue Storm can't be black and everything like that? Like, is he a foster? Is he adopted? Anything like that? And I was like, I remember seeing Jessica Alba being the first two Fantastic Four movies. Last time I checked, she's Latin.
Yeah,
and she does not look like she could be Chris Evans' brother. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that one. You know what complaint I heard? She doesn't look blonde enough. But it wasn't like, you know, she's the wrong race. It's like, you know, her hair's the wrong color. But it wasn't like this whole big stinking outcry and everything like that. Yeah. But it's kind of funny when it comes to comic books because nobody had a problem with Michael Clark Duncan being black in the Kingpin. You know, at all. Because it's kind of like, you know, it seemed natural.
Well, okay, let me interrupt you real quick on that. Was it because it didn't matter, or was it because it was the Daredevil movie? And they had already casted Ben Affleck, so it was like...
No, because it doesn't make a difference. It's been plenty, like, even if it's a small movie. Like, I remember, I usually think that was Spawn. Spawn's wife, they made, like, I remember her new husband, Terry Fitzgerald, was black in the comic books. You know, they made him white, and Tom McFarlane himself said, you know, I made the change because I couldn't have, you know, he said the sad story was I need to have a white person in the movie. He didn't want to make the change of like a studio thing.
And you said it before. It's like, I'll go see, like, yeah, Will Smith. I mean, I used to watch his movies until he became garbage, and. I don't know, and it goes back to what I was goofing around with on Facebook, like. Like, being reasonable and rational, none of that stuff matters, as long as the story is good. But with the Fantastic Four part, well, you said something that you couldn't hear me, but I was laughing when you said it. It was like, how can they be a family if the guy's black? Like, what an idiotic statement. That's just really funny.
Exactly. And people brought out, like, you know, you have families that are mixed race. Like, it's not 1919 anymore. And it's kind of, and it's always about the whole thing, like, So cosmic rays can turn you into superheroes, and I can wrap my head around that. But if Johnny Storm is black and Sue Storm is white, oh, that's just unrealistic. Like, from, like, it's funny, like, what battles people pick and when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah. Well, see, my whole thing is I guess that's where I become too attached to the source material. Like, if they would have turned Falcon into a Mexican guy or a white guy in Captain America, I would have lost my shit. Like, no, he's a black dude. That's what he always has been. And I don't have that open mind when it comes to this stuff. And to me, this just seems like a marketing gimmick. And I know we haven't seen the story yet, but it's just what it seems like to get. But I don't understand why. Like, there's no point. And my initial reaction was, all right, he's going to be playing the Thing. But then I can see, I can see the problems that would cause. You know, it's basically the black guy dies first. Well, the black guy turns into the monster. And then while you were talking, I started thinking, well, why didn't they just make or hire Michael B. Jordan to be Mr. Fantastic? Would an interracial couple be that ridiculously negative? Approach negatively.
Reed Richards. How Reed Richards can't be black. You can't have a black scientist. Who's gonna believe that? That's what you gonna hear some nonsense like that.
All right, we've only done six of these, but that is the exact thing I was thinking. Like, no one, like, the argument would be no one would buy a black scientist, which is really funny.
What's the most famous scientist we have walking around that, if people know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, last time I checked, he's black. Yeah. But people couldn't wrap their head around it. And I think that this matters, like, you brought the Falcon, that's a good point, because people said, oh, you know, well, how are you going to make Johnny Storm black? What if you made Black Panther white? I'm like, well, first of all, he's called Black Panther. He's from an African country. So unless you rebooting it, that the African country is South Africa, I don't think it would fit. Like, some characters, you know, if you change, like, the race is connected to the, you know, the character. Like, Captain America was, you know, a white symbol of World War II. Like, he was a patriotic hero. Yeah. So turn him anything other than white would seem, you would have to change the complete storyline. And I know they had a story behind that where he was the original person with a super soldier serum or whatever. You know, you couldn't make Storm Cuban, something like that. Like, if Blade was white, it's kind of like, I remember Blade from being, you know, like Wesley Snipes, but Blade being black was never a big thing in the comic books. It was just cool seeing a black, you know, it was just a cool black character. Like, some characters, it doesn't matter. Some it does, you know, it's just the way it is.
Well, I know you say you don't read too many comics, but did you see or read the freak out when Grant Morrison was writing Action Comics and they went to like Earth 57 or something and Superman there was black and he looked a little bit like Barack Obama, which was really kind of funny and really just pandering horseshit. The outrage that caused. And, you know, as a guy who admittedly is a slave to the source material, I had no problem with it. I was like, it's Earth 57. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. You've got your other guy intact, and you go and create other shit for fun. That's always the best part of it.
It just reminds me of that whole thing with Spider-Man. Like, you know, the ultimate universe of Spider-Man, like, he's half black and half Latin. And we talked about it. Could you ever see him being in a comic where they're like, nope. They just shot it down with the quickness.
And that's the most idiotic thing, too. All right. And I know we've both already said that we go see movies regardless, okay? There is a definite section of the audience, which I think we needed to mention, of society, that will immediately latch onto that. And I think we even brought it up where after this, and I think you told me that Andrew Garfield even said, well, why couldn't we have this guy in here? Well, but isn't that kind of like going back to the way beginning of the show with the James Bond part? You've got... They always seem to be hung up on trilogies for some reason. So going with that model, Why not? You can finish out this trilogy and then somehow introduce Miles Morales, and then you immediately have a Latin audience, a black audience, and really, and just, it will work. Not to say work, it'll still happen. The white audience of this country will go and see it. They're just going to, for first, the intrigue, and then second, it's something new.
Yeah. And I'll always make the argument to people when they say, oh, you know, white people don't feel comfortable seeing movies where white people want to star. I'm like, well, explain the Fast and Furious movies, because by the time you get to part five, you got Paul Walker and a bunch of everything else.
Hey, wait a minute, back up. What was that? That white people have what?
No, this the argument people make when
black
stars, like, you know, they'll say white people have issues going to see movies where they don't see themselves as the stars.
Okay.
And that's the argument studios make all the time. That's the same reason why in foreign movies they might even have the posters might be different. Like, there was a big thing about 12 Years a Slave. They had posters and, like, Brad Pitt's on the poster.
Wow.
Yeah, because they say, oh, you know, in Italy, they're not going to see a movie where a black guy's on a poster. I'm like, yeah, having Brad Pitt on a poster in a movie about slavery, I don't...
Well, you did say Italy. I mean...
But I just use that example.
I know.
Yeah, but... And that's the argument they make all the time, where, you know, white people won't see... They won't go to see movies if they don't see themselves. And I'm like, yes, they do, because white people love Will Smith. They see Denzel. And like Fast and Furious, you had, you know, Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez running around. And then you added Tyrese. And then you added The Rock.
Ludacris.
Yeah, Ludacris. You have like Paul Walker and everything. Yeah, you have Asian, black, mixed.
That could explain it. I was just talking about this with a girl at work before I left, just talking about how ridiculous the Fast and the Furious movies are. I mean, now that, unfortunately, Paul Walker's dead, for the new one, they are bringing in Mushmouth from Tokyo Drift to even further diversify, but a natural diversification, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, like, it never felt like it was pandering. I didn't even notice it until watching, like, Fast Five. I'm like...
I didn't notice it until you just said so.
Because it's never something like, you know, they push it on you. It just seemed natural in the story. And, like, I think somebody brought up watching Fast Five, like, this is a perfect example where people, you have a mixed cast and it doesn't feel like it's pandering. And it feels like it's just done, just be done. It just fits the storyline. And nobody has a problem with it because it's entertainment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, it's a natural because it's all a criminal element. And the white guy's chasing all the criminals, so it makes total sense to me. So. I've been itching to say that. I was like, wait, I got one. But no, yeah. You know what? Fast and the Furious may go down as the greatest movie franchise ever.
It's definitely the weirdest.
Oh, yeah. The Fast and the Furious franchise is basically a science fiction franchise. If you really think about it, the implausibility of everything that happens in these movies.
I treat it as like a comic movie, to be honest. Especially like Fast 6. And you like that scene when the tank scene and Vin Diesel jumps off a car and catches Michelle Rodriguez over a bridge and lands on another car and it is dusted on you already. Just dust it off. I'm like, okay. He's a superhero. Just say it right now and just be done with it.
Oh, yeah, Vic is definitely Superman. And, you know, Michelle Rodriguez, I won't say she's Wonder Woman, but she did survive a gunshot wound to the head.
And a car exploded.
Yeah. Paul Walker, I guess, would be the Batman of the group.
Yeah. Like everybody, they're just jumping through roofs. Him and a pregnant woman are jumping through roofs.
Oh, my God, that's right.
But sewer, and there's no problem. You know, The Rock is throwing Vin Diesel through a wall. And there's no, you know, like everybody's super, like even skinny ass, what's her face, the Israeli one? Oh, Gal Gadot. Like she's just, you know, she's 95 pounds soaking wet and she's a badass. And you never think, oh, it doesn't seem unrealistic. That never crossed my mind.
This may be the Justice League in disguise. Because even The Rock could be Captain Marvel to Vin Diesel's Superman. Wow.
Like they, you know, they just survive car crashes. You know, like if a car normally flips over six times, usually the guy lives in the hospital. Tyrese and Ludacris just joke about, like, don't tell anybody. And I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, yeah, I'm waiting to see the next one. I'm curious to see, you know, how they deal with Paul Walker not being there. Or, like, they say they're going to retire from the story, but have it, you know, honor him. And I'm definitely curious to see Jason Statham in that mix, because that's just, I'm surprised it took so long for him to be in those movies.
Well, I know they're writing him out, obviously, because he's dead, but they're not killing him during the movie.
Yeah.
And I know everyone will say that it's kind of touchy that you shouldn't, but you can't just have Brian suddenly disappear.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know how you could kill him, because I'm just thinking about, like, how could you kill him in a movie that would seem, especially, like, you know, like, he dies in a car crash in real life. And you see how many car crashes you have in this movie. It's kind of like, shot or something, you know, a plane blows up or something like that. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he goes home, would be a family man. They can get Jordana Bruce out of there too and get some new girls in there. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's a sticky one. But if they decide to go with the franchise after, what is it, 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they decide to, which they kind of have to, it's Universal's only big money maker.
Yeah.
It's a
big one. Like each the last three movies have made each an increase in like money, and they make a lot of money at this point, like a lot of money.
Yeah, every one of them has made more than the last one. It's the exact opposite of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So. And I'm really, really looking forward to this new one, even though we have to wait till next year. Next year is an idiotic year for movies of this sort, of course.
Because I think it pushed, because the stuff that's going to come out this year got pushed, like, this is going to come out this year, and I got pushed to next year. You have Batman, Superman, you have Avengers 3. So there's those three movies right there, just, you know, just super space eaters. That's why they're comparing like the box office. Like, why wasn't this year box office big? I'm like, well, one movie moved to next year and then compared to what was out last year.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of big movies that were out at the same time. Like, this year was kind of like 3 or 4, more or less.
Yeah, really, really weird year for the box office. But we can get into that later on after Guardians of the Galaxy comes out and compare and contrast. But yeah, so we're pushing up on time, you know, still trying to keep this relatively short. So this one may actually clock in at the shortest one at an hour. So that's pretty good. But so I'm gonna sign off. You can follow us, Stunk Granny on all social media. Twitter, I am Granny Maze. Shahid is Shafarm D. You'll figure it out. Yeah, so we'll be back next week, which we have to go over your schedule now since you're falling on the sword for somebody for some ridiculous cause, whatever.
Yeah, like I say, I should have just been the supervillain route. Like, it's not my problem. I didn't have a stroke, so it worked out.
Oh, my God.
What would Jerry be saying? Like, you know,
Holy shit. But you actually got me to break character. Oh, God.
That's not my problem. I got a family too.
Oh, that is harsh shit, man. And all those compliments we gave you on the audio experience. You're not a good person.
Actually, I thought about that for 2 seconds. Like, you know, that's not my problem, bro. Even though I'm not that big of an asshole.
No, I would. You'll say it behind their back, but never their face. So I'm going to sign off on that. So everyone have fun, and we'll talk to you next week. All right, you jerk, take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. You guys have a good time, and we are out.